Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. I've been joined live via Zoom by a fine guest. He is U.S. senatorial candidate from Wisconsin, Democrat Tom Nelson. Tom, welcome back to the big show.
It's good to be back on. Great to be here. Well, Tom, I guess by here, I mean in my campaign office. But
I can see you, man. Nelson for U.S. Senate on the wall behind you. Tom, I'm going to tease you a little bit from the top, though. I saw your campaign announced a big endorsement. Marianne Williamson, former presidential candidate. Tom, I got to tell you, you get more respect from my little buddy Dominic than your endorser does. We passed on the opportunity to interview her prior, but here you are, Tom. So at least you get some love, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's an inspiration to a lot of women, and rightfully so. I mean, her life has been one challenge after another. She's battled against drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, divorce, and yet she decided not going to be a victim. And she wrote a New York Times bestseller. She ran for president. Not all of us get to say that. And she's a spiritual advisor to Oprah Winfrey, who, last I checked, has probably millions and millions of followers, many from vote, of course, though. So, no, I mean, it's great. I'm delighted to include her with any number of endorsements we've had. I mean, this has been a big tent campaign from the very beginning. And that's been a trademark of my public service. I mean, you don't get elected in a red part of the state again and again and again and again if you're not able to build coalitions. So in addition to this endorsement, I have great Americans like Keldo Royce, Bob Wirch, Mr. Kenosha, Nick Milroy, the man from Northwoods, former state representative Gary Sherman. I got the endorsements of the Appleton firefighters, Grand Chute, Greater Green Bay. And on the other end of the labor spectrum, so to speak, I have the United Electrical Workers, which is probably one of the most progressive unions, not just in the state, but in the country. So this endorsement is emblematic of what this campaign is trying to do. And that is to try to have as big a tent as possible and bring as many folks into it. To say nothing about, I appreciate her advocacy, Marianne's advocacy on two very important issues for me. And that's Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. And I'm the only candidate in this race who is running on those issues. This is transformative change that we can affect for the people of Wisconsin and all Americans.
Tom, a lot of Democrats running for this position. I think I'm accurate in characterizing you as the progressive. You'd like to grab the progressive lane if you could. And I would say, Tom, people have to stand for something. Democrats have to stand for something. Mm-hmm. I had your friend of mine, Dr. Harvey Kay, in studio yesterday, Tom. Here in the state capitol, they're rolling out an economic bill of rights. And, hearkening back to FDR and the New Deal. Tom, what's your thought on the Economic Bill of Rights, and how would that dovetail with your campaign for U.S. Senate?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say it's long past due. Second of all, I think that this state is better off having leaders like Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus, right here in my background in Green Bay, who is not just a statewide, but a national leader on labor policy. I think what they rolled out is something that all Democrats should embrace. And hopefully all elected officials. I mean, if you can't embrace some of those pretty basic concepts, you know, having a right to a good paying job, a roof over your head, universal health care, I mean, why are you running? I mean, that's a pretty simple, basic thing for Democrats to support. And this campaign, like all of my campaigns in public service, has been about the bread and butter economic issues that I believe I've seen make a positive impact on the people that I represent. Went all the way back when I was age 4, growing up on blue collar Carolyn Drive in Little Chute, where all the dads worked at paper mills, except for my dad. I like to say wore the white collar because he was a Lutheran pastor. And so that was important because I saw at a very, very young age two important lessons. Number one, the importance of serving your community. And number two, and in time, learning that there are a lot of folks in this world, like the good working families on Carolyn Drive, who work hard, play by the rules, pay the taxes, but they just can't get ahead. And what the Bill of Rights, what the Economic Bill of Rights is trying to accomplish what my labor slash economic inflation policy is trying to accomplish is do everything we can to unrig the system, to try to make life just a little easier for the working families on Carolyn Drive or the family farmers in Polk County, like my aunt and uncle, and Wisconsinites all over, from Kenosha, Bob Wirtz land, up to Superior, Nick Milroy land. So it's good. I think it's a very important part. I think it's a very important policy, and of course, a very big part, important part of my campaign.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got to find U.S. senatorial candidate. He's a friend of ours. He is Tom Nelson, currently Outagamie County Executive, formerly in the Wisconsin Legislature. And Tom, I heard you mention not a victim, and I don't like the victim role. I feel like the Republicans are playing victim up on Capitol Hill right now in a U.S. Supreme Court nominee hearing. But Tom, I also don't want people like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson that's out there fighting the facts. He's not being a victim. He's literally fighting against truth, science, and the facts. So Tom, where's the happy medium? How are you a fighter for your constituents, and not a victim? Where does it all fit for your campaign and your personality, sir?
Well, I think you always have to do the right thing. I think the best thing is to come from a place of knowing how it is to work hard, to come from a working family, put food on the table, work a roof over your head. I mean, that's a concept that's completely foreign to someone like Ron Johnson, someone who, you know, married into millions, billions, was handed a job, handed a business, and then for the rest of his public service, if you want to call it that, is trying to, you know, to pull up the ladder so that future generations aren't going to be able to have access to the same kind of investments, the same opportunities that he had. So I think the balance, if you want to call, I think it's a pretty simple equation. If you want to use the word balance, that you just have to do what is the right thing. Treat people fairly and look at how you can improve their lives. I mean, it's like Paul Wellstone used to do. Politics is about improving the lives of, making life easier and improving the lives of people. And I think too often we lose track of that. We get caught up in the political games, you know, especially what's going on right now with the nomination hearings. I mean, it's just a tragedy. I mean, you see the Republican, senators who are blowing every single dog whistle possible. In fact, they're not dog whistling. You know, they're sounding, you know, a klaxon siren. It's embarrassing. It reflects poorly on those senators, the Republican Party. And I think to the extent that folks are watching this from afar, it looks, you know, it reflects poorly on this country, because that judge who's going up for nomination is probably one of the most qualified Supreme Court justice nominees in a long time.
U.S. senatorial candidate Tom Nelson, my fine guest. Okay, so you got another happy mix you gotta lay out there as a candidate on the campaign. And as I see it, here it is. What we will deliver, we the Democrats, if we have a larger electoral majority, if we can hold the Senate and the House and maybe carve out a few more seats and, you know, maybe make the Joe Manchins and the Kristen Sinemas less relevant, let's just say. Tom, what does that look like if you're our new U.S. Senator from the state of Wisconsin?
We have our best chance possible. If I get the nomination, we have the best chance, I believe, the best chance possible to win this, because what you have to do is we need to have someone who can beat Ron Johnson. I'm the only one from a red part of the state who's won election, re-election 6 times as a legislator and as a county executive. If I go to Washington, if I'm fortunate, get the support of the good voters of the state and go to Washington, I can bring the Wisconsin progressive values that have been championed by Tammy Baldwin or Russ Feingal, before that Bill Proxmeyer and Gaylord Nelson. If you have a 51-49 hold, that means, of course, you hold all the incumbent Democrats. You go from 50-50 to 51-49. You know, that is going to make at least one of those votes, Sinema or Manchin, irrelevant. And hopefully, if we also have success in Pennsylvania, which is also an opportunity, and maybe in North Carolina, you're looking at making both of them irrelevant and maybe a third pickup. So those are really good opportunities we have. But of the three, of those three, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, this is number one. And this remains number one, even if the fortunes of national Democrats turn in a way that would make it not a good year for Democrats, because Ron Johnson is just so damaged. I'll say he's so damaged, so he is beatable. But look, He's no dummy. He is someone who's gotten elected and reelected twice to the U.S. Senate. The guy's not stupid. So when I hear people saying, oh, that Ron Johnson, he just is sparring so forth. No, look, the guy figured out how to get elected to the U.S. Senate twice. Okay. We cannot take this for granted. We cannot assume that anyone who gets the nomination is going to be well positioned to beat him. It's just not true. Democrats have got to get this right because, as I like to say, this is not just for all the marbles, this is for all the cheese balls, right?
Tom, how do we uphold democracy? That's the other big issue. It's one thing to say, I'll deliver this if you elect me to the Senate. It's another thing to kind of uphold democracy, uphold the truth of the last elective cycle, etc. I mean, Ron Johnson is not just on the fringe. He's often pushing propaganda. Perhaps it's Russian, perhaps it's Republican, but he's right there pushing the big lie, Tom. So how do we move beyond, you know, talking about issues of governance when we can't even uphold our democracy? So how do you hold him accountable as a candidate?
Well, I think you got to do a couple things at the same time. I think it's a combination of defense and offense. I mean, the fact that we've got to just, you know, defend basic democratic principles, we haven't had to do that in a long time. And it's because of people like Ron Johnson and the rest of those Republicans on the Judiciary Committee that have set us back so far. They've undermined this democracy and really came close to the abyss. And so I think you can fix that by getting rid of someone like Ron Johnson to punch back, and at the same time too, focus on the issues that are going to make a real difference in the lives of working families in Wisconsin, across the country. I believe one of the reasons why the Republican Party seems to be imploding, being crushed by its own weight, is for years and years, the only thing that they've been able to offer working families are divisive social issues, because tax cuts for the rich are not going to help us out. Cutting education, undermining labor, undermining unions, that's not how you're going to improve the lives. And so someone like, you know, Donald Trump comes along, angry as they are, boom, they go to Donald Trump. The lesson is never lose sight of the issues that matter to voters, specifically economic issues. That's what my public service has been about. That's what this campaign is about. And that's why my first major policy planks are economic, labor, and inflation planks. If you are to address those issues, if you are to go a long way and try to solve those issues, you will be returned to office time and again, because you can go back to the voters and say, I made a difference. And if you weren't successful because you don't, because your party doesn't control the U.S. Senate or the House or whatever, you can show a very clear track record of being on their side and fighting for them day in and day out.
Tom, you're playing catch up a little bit. You got a couple of opponents who are personally very wealthy. You have a lieutenant governor who has the highest name recognition currently, and you probably don't have the financial resources to throw at television. But Tom, I should acknowledge you are currently running ads on Devil Radio. We appreciate you doing so. We have the grassroots population and the most engaged listeners, I think, in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Tom, is that part of your grassroots campaign?
Well, let me just say this. Regardless of how this election turns out, I think candidates for the U.S. Senate, progressive candidates up and down the ballot, should be supporting folks like your show, because we need to improve the channels of communication to the grassroots, whether it's on social media or whether it's through television or whether it is through radio. I think it is unfortunate, maybe criminal, that there are some candidates in this race, one in particular, that spent $3 million on television and hasn't invested a nickel in progressive media. I think that's wrong, but I'll tell you what. This race is going to be decided by engaged listeners that you have on your show. And so that's why I'm proud that the very first paid advertisements for my campaign voters is on your station.
Well, we greatly appreciate that as well, Tom. Tom Nelson, U.S. senatorial candidate. If people want to support your campaign, where do they go, Tom?
Nelson4WI.com. So that's Nelson4WI.com. Oh, and I should also say, too, to your listeners, thank you very much for accommodating my schedule. I have to leave to pick up the kids. I have to make the macaroni and cheese and pizza before we take them to a break, before I take them to their swimming lessons.
Thank you, Tom Nelson. Nelson4Wisconsin.com.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
We'll be right back. Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Day 2 Tuesday edition. I want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, U.S. Senatorial candidate Tom Nelson. Always appreciate when Tom comes around. I know he is, well, I think he is the most progressive of the candidates. You know, they all get to claim their lane. I meant to ask Tom, you know, Tom, what do you got to do to be able to claim you're a progressive? And I know he supports Medicare for All, and I know he supports the Green New Deal. So, I mean, that's a good start, but what do you got to do? Everybody's going to claim they're a progressive at some point during this race. I don't think all of them check the necessary prerequisite boxes. Legalize marijuana, that's one for me. How about you, Fancy?
I think if you were to go, like, let's say the pool of candidates are all gardeners and everything, I feel like Tom would have the most dirt on his hands. If there's a progressive garden and all of the candidates are gardening a little bit in the progressive garden, I feel like Tom would have more dirt on his hands.
Yeah, you got to be careful about the whole dirt analogy, though. You know, you don't want to taint the candidacy of Tom Nelson. Oh,
I'm not talking about dirt. Like
I know,
dirt.
I know you're talking about dirt. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm talking about like grit dirt. Like, I'm talking about it takes a while to wash it off, and still, even though you've cleaned your hands 40 times, there's still somehow dirt on there in a good way because you've been doing the work.
So what you're saying is you have dirty, dirty thoughts about U.S. Senatorial candidate Tom Nelson.
Yes, but in a very progressive way.
Fancy Brand, while we still got time in this big hour, I want to revisit our Freedom Convoy boys and girls.
Please.
Not only is there perhaps a little COVID spreading through the anti-vaxxer, anti-masker, maxers, mask maskers. You know, you got to create new words just to describe these jackholes. But Sarah K. Burris at the Raw Story reporting. A fight almost broke out between the Freedom Convoy truckers during a morning meeting.
Oh, they have morning meetings?
Occasionally we have morning meetings, but they're more organized than us.
I had morning meetings at Home Depot, too, so.
That counts. That counts. That's a morning meeting. If it's in the morning and the boss is speeding, then I guess it's the morning meeting.
Let's rally up, everyone.
The so-called Freedom Convoy, as it's being described here, continues to struggle as part of its ongoing effort to protest a number of grievances, but things grew very heated this morning in the morning meeting, according to Vice News. A man using the name of Will Ferrell's character Ricky Bobby came to join the group hosting a tailgate party. During their morning speeches, the young man walked up to grab the microphone, claiming to be Ricky Murphy. He had been there for 16 days, he explained. I'm not alone when I say there has been a bit of confusion with the people. It's time that we work together with our leadership. Now, according to the author and the original source at Vice News, this Ricky Bobby, Ricky Murphy character, well, he rambled before inviting folks to a party where a streamer named Jersey J would be having a back 40 for folks to air their many grievances.
I don't know how to put those words together in context that I understand.
Back 40, they're going to have a party on the back 40. You come and air the grievances. We do that here on Fridays. He also claimed that he knew the next location the group was hitting, promising there'd be bathrooms this time. I don't know if you heard about this problem, Fancy Brent. I know you've been off for a couple days. Truckers claimed Tuesday that they were forced to soil themselves while driving on the highway because some larger trucks are not allowed to enter Washington, D.C. city limits.
One can only haul so much BS around.
I had to soil myself a little bit more here. Anyways, truckers. So this didn't sit well with the trucker brass watching his speech, said the report. When the mic was finally handed off, a trucker organizer, clearly upset, began raging about how Ricky Murphy didn't speak for the convoy and urged those in attendance not to be led astray. But Ricky Bobby Murphy had an extra microphone hooked up.
Oh.
So when he talked back to the organizer saying, if you don't want the people to have a voice, I can't support this, it was also amplified. This pushed
Ron
the top.
Johnson is right.
This pushed the top brass and their supporters over the edge. convoy of protesters surrounded Ricky Bobby Murphy, lodging threats. One asked whose convoy it was, and Murphy responded, "We the people."
We the people are giving you the finger.
They then told him that wasn't the case. It's an odd claim since the group has purported to support the rights of the people and told people in Washington as they passed that they were fighting for everyone's rights. Everyone.
Except for you. Stop flipping me off.
Except for Ricky Bobby Murphy.
Why is that person flipping me off?
The debate with Murphy got heated, with one man saying it would get real ugly real fast. Uh-huh. It was ultimately broken up before any punches were thrown.
If it weren't for all these people holding me back, they better hold me back. Seriously, guys, hold me back.
If you're not first, you're last. What a Ricky Bobby Murphy. Now, I wanted to get to this embedded thread, this report that the Freedom Convoy truckers were out there soiling themselves.
This is fantastic.
Let me read from a thread. Again, this is from Zachary Patrizio. Zachary has kind of been the in-bed with the truckers. He's from the Daily Beast. But here's what he is threading out today. According to co-organizer and trucker Ron Coleman, the People's Convoy has a new goal. Conduct citizens' arrest of Metro PD officers and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. We have to put a summons out to the Metro PD and Mayor Bowser. We would do a citizens' arrest of them.
What?
Coleman claims the convoy lawyers are looking into it. Yeah, they're looking into it.
Just like decertification. Okay.
As to the arrest reasoning, truckers speaking with Coleman said that other truckers haven't been able to go to the bathroom while circling the beltway, which has left people having actually pissed their pants. So the crime is I can't use the bathroom because I've got an oversized truck. Over the past week, again, according to Zachary Patrizio from the Daily Beast, over the past week, there's been a growing fascination with the prospects of arresting D.C. residents. Some truckers have also suggested they could arrest a Beltway driver if they could successfully pin in the driver, take them out of the car, and then conduct an arrest.
That'll go over really well.
That's the plan. That's your plan?
Get her?
Get her? That's your plan. We're going to box you in. We're going to get you out of the car, and we're going to make a citizen's arrest on the roadside. And then we're going to use your car to drive into town because I really got a whiz.
What a bunch of losers.
I'm going to arrest the mayor. They won't let me use the bathrooms.
This is very poorly planned. At the very least, it's very poorly planned.
Very poorly planned. Yes, yes, that's one way to put it.
And they're arguing over whose fault it is? That's the best.
Well, let's come back. Hour two. With the victimhood of the right. It's kind of like, you know, the Return of the Jedi. The victimhood of the right. Hour two is next. Please come back. Please. Please. Tell me.
I got a message for all of them. Ready? Shake and bake.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened. Go get